The review team was sitting all along one table where we had no eye contact except with the person with which we also had elbow contact. And we are sitting now around the table. We are going to try to make as much as possible of this work go over the microphone and therefore be public. The plan for the session is that we will split into three breakout groups. I do not think that we are, I mean, even technically, in a condition to create three separate broadcasts or interactive rooms. We'll try to keep one, if at all possible, for the breakout sessions. And when we convene again, we'll again make sure that everything goes to work publicly. I don't know, Atif, if this is clear for you. We will now start this group discussion on how to get our work organized in detail. As we do, this will help us define the scope and the deliverables, as well as the team composition for the three broad set of tasks that we believe are achievable. So, during several informal discussions and some, let's say, office work that the Vice Chair Andrea Rigoni and myself have done, we have had a great benefit of the intense and smart and dedicated participation in this discussion, in this preparatory discussion also of Jeff Brueggemann, Martin Hannigan, and Simon McCalla, whom, as you have seen on the mailing list, have also been very forthcoming. We have now a possible division of labor, which I've sent out an email to the group, and I would like to just confirm and refine today before we get started. First, the way the tasks have been divided into groupings. I don't know, Jeff, if you want to go to make that description yourself or for me to take it up. I'd be very glad if you do.
In order to facilitate the work, we talked about breaking into three groups, and that would be to just focus on how do we gather the information and start drafting some analysis to start the review. And the first category is governing, which I think was a good title for that category, which encompasses the role of ICANN on security issues and some of the broader landscape that ICANN fits into with respect to governments. If I could use your and the overall process and the GAC, and so I think it puts ICANN into the broader landscape of security and identifying what its role is. And so that group will be Anders, Hartmut, Lodong, Alice, and Simon. And I think Alejandro helpfully started to frame what are some of the documents and issues that the group would look at. And so this would include other standards groups like IETF, the regional registries, PDP, the GAC chair, governments, and also looking at some of the foundational documents like the bylaws. So maybe it would be helpful while we're all together to ask if anyone has any other comments or suggestions or questions on each section.
Jeff, hi. Simon McCallum from Nominate. One of the things I think that's interesting about this group is some of the feedback we got from the CCSO public session, which was about ensuring we're explicitly clear about what is ICANN's role and remit and responsibilities and what isn't, and ensuring that we're not creating we don't create a framework for what CCNSO would call scope creep of ICANN, so that we're not effectively painting a landscape that would allow them to easily move into taking a more operational role, I think was one of the big concerns. So I think that's something we're going to have to make sure we tackle very clearly, and it may be some uncomfortable ground, I think, at some point, but I think it's going to be part of the challenge.
And I would say a similar discussion came up in my discussions with the business constituency as well. You know, one of the things that I liked about the ICANN security plan is that it identified some things explicitly that ICANN was not responsible for. So that might be one suggestion for the group to look at. In the second category, is there a way to... yeah, thank you. Is the implementation and fulfillment of responsibilities. So this gets into, I think, a focus on a lot of the internal workings of ICANN, and that would include CCTLDs and GTLDs, the actual contracted parties, but also the non-contracted parties. I think the implementation components of the strategic plan, and then some of the specific efforts that have been undertaken, such as root zone scaling, and talking to the staff. And, you know, there may be elements, as I'm looking at this, of I had the opportunity to attend the public part of the ESSAC meeting, as I know Alejandro and others did as well, and there is a component of ongoing advice that they provide that might be worth including in this section as well. And some of the... So this will involve looking at, I'd say... including the ICANN functions within ICANN that do security, including the staff, compliance, security, the chief operating officer, and then talking to the CCTLD managers and others. So I think this will, as I said, will be a heavy focus on the internal operations and what's actually happening. Any comments or questions on this? One other point that came up in our meeting is that this new DNS security working group appears to be doing, or while the work has not commenced yet, appears to have a charter that could lead it to be gathering a lot of the same information and conducting the same types of reviews, I think, particularly in this section. So like, one of the things we should talk about today is how to avoid duplication in that area. The third category, which is something that was specifically referenced in the affirmation of commitments, is the contingency planning. And that really is where the group will be looking at the emerging threats, existing and emerging threats, looking at that, at what ESSAC is doing in that area, things like root server operators and RSAC and protocol risk management. I think as Patrick Jones indicated the other day, ICANN has already done a lot of contingency planning in a number of areas, so there are things that can be looked at as a starting point here as well. But this may be the most external analysis part of the group where you're really looking at the threat landscape and then thinking about how ICANN is set up procedurally and structurally to do that contingency planning.
Thank you, Jeff. Any comments from the group? In particular, this is Andrea Rigoni speaking.
Andrea Rigoni, I want to add that the way we structure the three groups, it's clear that the third group, the contingency, is a transversal group. Because contingency obviously must be covered also in group one and in the implementation. This will require extra care and extra coordination between the three groups because the other twos they just connect with the contingency.
And Alejandro Pisanti here, I would further add that it doesn't strictly look at the contingency planning in a narrow way. It's fairly broad. It looks at the more technical side of the risk framework, risk analysis framework, and so forth. What we need to do now is to make sure that we know where we are going to, and let's say how much information these groups will need to gather, and how much analysis work they will have to do. One of the open questions for our group is whether we will be doing as other review teams, as the other review team under the AOC has already done, the Accountability and Transparency Review Team, and the previous bylaws mandated reviews that ICANN has undertaken, like the GNSO review, CCNSO review, NOMCOM board, and ESSAC and ALAC reviews. All of these have been conducted in part with the assistance of a consultant, which has been hired. There has had to be a budget, terms of reference drafted, made public, commented, agreed. Then, actually, the contract has been put out for bids, winner has been assigned, and then these people have had to sign a contract and perform their tasks and deliver a report. We have to scope this out today. I don't think this is the moment for defining this, but today is the day for defining this. Whether we think that we will be able to perform enough information collection on our own that we can actually do this work without a consultant and still deliver an effective result, or whether we will aim for something that's either in the breadth of its scope or the depth of the information it looks for, we'll need to hire that. So I ask you to keep this in mind as we proceed today. We will have to emerge from today, starting with this. This is only a way to get started. With not only the division of labor, but a much more detailed definition of the tasks of these groups, a calendar, and a budget. If there's going to be any, particularly if there's going to be any contracting of work. So first, I would like to ask all team members whether they find that the division of labor, the tasks, make sense in the way they are grouped. We know there will be vacuums and we know there will be overlaps, but whether this is a good starting point that can be, we can work with this with enough coordination. Coordination will be provided by frequent contact between the whoever we designate as team leaders and the internally to the teams themselves, of course. This would happen by email and teleconferencing. Mostly we'll be aiming not to depend on a lot of extra physical meetings that, let's say, happen between ICANN meetings, because the coordinating stuff like that is really hard. Once we reasonably agree on this or other division of labor and this or other way to form our teams, we will break out and try to get detailed. The empty column on the table is terms of reference. I don't think that they can be as compact as to fill them in these small spaces. But to have terms of reference, to have really reasonable definitions of the scope of the work, that people can actually go out with it. So comments here. Ratnichov.
Yeah, so I have one question, Alejandro. In the assignment of people to working to the breakout groups, was there any rationale in terms of knowledge or capabilities or areas of specialty?
Mostly not. As we met, Andrea and myself, and had support of a couple of other team members who were available, we thought of, going. You can even go to the Vitas and ask everybody and so forth, and then try to make very specialized teams. We opted for almost the opposite, which is a near random assignment. I broke the random assignment. I didn't do it with a pseudo random number generator. I just took the list, following a suggestion of one of the team members, just took the list and made them, number one goes to team one, number two goes to team two, number three goes to team three, and then number four goes again to the number team one, just as it was listed, which isn't even a fully alphabetical list because it's made of two or three sublists. It's just pretty random. And then I broke that a little bit by making sure that the CCTLD managers, randomness has its edges, and in this case, all three CCTLD management-related people, or the four who are in the team, fell in the same sub-team. So I broke that part, and I broke the fact that also in the original list, the two GAC members happened to come together. And again, I split those. That's the only change I've made. And one more thing. is I changed Paul Mokapetris from wherever he appeared first in the first two teams to the third one, thinking that his particular singular experience with a DNS would be better used in that one. I think, I mean, as I said in the email to the group, this is open for discussion, but unless there's something really, really broken, I think that the combination of being competent and knowledgeable in one area or one field of so one sub-constituency of ICANN versus being able to look, you know, transversally to other stuff, would be would be more valuable, actually, to have this, you know, people asking the other people questions. Let's say that if we group, I mean, as a possible example, if we grouped all three or four people related to the CCNSO, we would probably end up having more a defensive grouping related to questions about the CCNSO than someone ready to answer questions about the CCNSO. That's the rationale. So, I mean, this is a first point. I mean, we have to decide together whether this is a good division of labor conceptually, that is, the tasks are grouped in a workable way. There's no optimal way, I think, that we all agree on. It's just if it's workable. And if the people can, as teamed up, can perform the work at a good level. Bill Manning.
So I'm stealing Rodney's microphone. I look at this and I don't see something that is, I think, fundamental or is considered to be a fundamental part of ICANN, which is the IANA contract. Where does that fit?
I haven't placed the IANA contract because I think that's a very, as you said, a key part. It's the IANA contract and it's the IANA function. These are two different things. So I deliberately left it for this session to decide. That's the one key component I think that we have to decide where it fits. In fact, Bill, you may have an opinion. So
I do actually.
The surprise is that I do have an opinion, and that I'm willing to share it. You have under that second group, it says contracted parties. ICANN is a contracted party in this case, so it might fit there.
I also wonder, Bill, whether it fits. It partly fits in the first group as well, I think, in terms of the overall governance as well. So I could see it sitting across both, actually.
So probably a practical way to go about this is to, as we split into the breakout groups in a few minutes, to have both groups consider the IANA and see where we get a clearer mandate or whether we get actually a split mandate on looking at IANA. I think we can. It's better to resolve this pragmatically than to spend a lot of time in principle, unless someone disagrees. Sheldon, Rodney, you okay? Martin.
So what would the scope of the review of the IANA be? Would that include the, for example, the MOU and the understanding between ICANN and the RIRs?
Is this one on? Yeah, it is on. If you're looking at security, stability, and resilience of the DNS, and you look at the IANA functions that ICANN has been asked to do, a lot of what ICANN's processes and procedures revolve around root zone management and the other IANA functions dealing with DNS operations for addressing and numbering the ARPA zone and its associated stuff. So given that the Department of Commerce is starting to ask some questions with regards to the contract expiration in 6 months, that would appear to me to be a security threat, right, or a risk. And so maybe it not only fits in the first one and the second one, but it might fit in the third one as well. You know, what happens if the IANA functions contract is diffused or dispersed? What happens, right? And somebody has to answer those questions. So my question about the IANA functions and appearing to be missing, I'm not sure that it actually fits in any one of these categories exclusively, but it's certainly something that it's not up there at all explicitly, and perhaps it should be.
I was just that, for a pragmatic way of moving forward in this respect, I agree with you, by the way, I think most would, that even the RIR or IETF-related part of the IANA contract are a factor of stability or instability here, whether depending on how it gets contracted. We won't resolve it today. What we have to look at is, as we look at the IANA function in teams 1 and 2 in the breakout, to look at this, at how to deal with this risk and how to ask whether ICANN is dealing properly with that kind of risk. We also have to take into account the time frame of our work and of the IANA bid, because it may be that both are ended by the same time. If our review started 6 months later than it did, we would probably be working on facts and instead of an ongoing, say, unfinished, on a finished process instead of a process that's only going to start. So have to take that into account. Any other comments about this division of labor? At least, I don't think that we have to be definitive about this division of labor at this moment. The best way to test it is to actually break out into these three groups. If no one feels a strong need to change, do them as they are, and start writing I think this is a task for about 2 hours, to start writing the detailed terms of reference of what you would be looking at. So if everybody agrees, we would have that. We'd have, of course, a 5 minutes physiological breakout. And I have hands up from Sheldon Lee and from Jeff. So Sheldon, please.
I totally agree the division of the labor. Yeah. So, but I think that because the third group have so many works to related to each other, so I think that every group should communicate with each other tightly. Yeah.
I fully agree. It's part of the plan. I mean, part of what we have to agree is to sort of each group tell us more or less how often they think they will need coordination with the others so that we can set up a mechanism through the proposed or other team leaders. Like also, for this breakout, I have proposed these three team coordinators because they have been the people that have been more active, seemingly more available for now. We know that can change from one day to another. But it seems viable. But and I have consulted with them whether they would be available, and they are. But this is also an open question to probe. Jeff.
There we go. I was just going to propose, as we put together the work plans, and Alejandro, we had talked about timing. I think is a big concern and a big issue that maybe we target for all of our groups at least a draft set of analysis by the Singapore meeting, and we set a target for ourselves to work towards that, and then having our final draft recommendations before the October meeting is going to be, so that to some extent the timing helps to, as you were saying the other day, Alejandro, we have to work within what's doable within that time frame. So perhaps as we scope this out, we should think about things in terms of what can be accomplished in that time frame. And someone who was on the ATRT recommendation or review team had said to me that one thing you can do is to say there are areas of future further study that should be undertaken. So if there are things that we can't get to, but we see that there may be an issue, we can recommend further study. So we should try and think about ways to not limit what we're thinking about, but there may be limits to what we can actually to work.
I have one suggestion, which I have a mic. Before Paul Makapetris, before we break up, I think maybe we ought to pick one topic and just get kind of the idea about how we would get the next set of terms of reference or what it might look like. Otherwise, I think we're running a little bit of danger that we'll come up with three different things, that one is alphabetically ordered, one's by height, and the other is, you know, something else. So we ought to just try and sort of vaguely get an outline of what the next set of things we're going to try and develop will look like. And I'd suggest we just work some example at a trivial level. So pick one of the topics. And
Mr. Rigoni.
Andrea Rigoni, I agree with Paul. We need also to be consistent in the way we organize the work inside the three working groups. Obviously, there will be activities that will be performed by the three working groups. Like, we need to identify actors that we want to interview. We need to have an interview plan. And I think it will happen that two or maybe the three groups could also have the need to target the same organization or the same entity. So this, you know, connects to the absolute need to have a very strict coordination. These we will go into more details later, but the idea is that through the working group coordinators, there will be biweekly calls with the chair and the vice chair. And there will be some parts of the work that, independently from the three working groups, will be managed anyway as one review team. Because, for example, the interview plan—it's something that should be shared by anyone in the review team.
I completely share this. One further constraint that we have to take into account, and Jeff has already mentioned it in part, is a combination of calendar and accountability and transparency requirements. We have to make sure that whatever work we produce, however limited or broad and deep or shallow we produce, is accountable, is believable, and is performed in as much as possible in a transparent way. We do know that in dealing with security-related stuff, there may be some information that companies or organizations consider confidential. We'll have to work out the non-disclosure agreements and so forth that are needed, but we will have to work to push them to work with us with as much public information as possible, information that has to be made known to the public. This is one requirement. The other derivative of the accountability and transparency requirement is that we have to put stuff out for public comment cyclically before actually working on it. Things like the terms of reference for the groups and stuff like that will have to be, the interview plan, stuff like that will have to be discussed publicly. So we have to take into account, that colors our calendaring. Our scheduling. The schedule is marked by huge landmarks, which are the ICANN meetings. The ones we need to keep in mind are June, end of June in Singapore, apparently end of October in a location which is not yet public. We don't find it public in Africa, and March 2012. So that's a longer interval for Latin America. And again, the location is not yet known. So we should have our calendar in such a way that we make the most effective use of getting to these meetings with a lot of work done and already made public for and known for consultation, like we did today, so that we can have the community input before we sit and, of course, get a lot of it, make our work an attractive target for public comment in each of the meetings. The experience of other years working in ICANN tells us that the summer, the boreal summer and the austral summer, both are impediments to teamwork. We can get a lot of individual work, but our team as a whole doesn't make that much progress. So we should be sure that we get a lot of work done before June, and that we get conclusions of that work made available for public comment during that period. So these 45-day public comment periods are available early in the summer for the people who will be choosing different weeks of the boreal summer to work and comment on those, and then we can have deadlines just at the end of summer so that we still have a month or a month and a half to work on the results of these comments before the October meeting. That I put forward to you as you plan your work. I mentioned this because the scope and size of the tasks will determine much of the timing, and this this is to know what the procrusty embed in which the timing will go. Rodney.
Yeah, can I just suggest that at some point today, whether it's you and you two, the chairman and the vice chairman beforehand, work on a specific calendar and schedule of milestones, so at least we know it is, even short-term ones, which is by the end of today we want to accomplish X, by next week Y, just so that we understand it. I keep on hearing different timelines, and time is creeping. I hear 6 months, and I just heard you mention the March 2012 ICANN, and I thought this was supposed to have been done well before then. So the creeping timelines are going to be against us as well. So if while we're doing the discussions we have in our group, perhaps you could work on a schedule that says these are the deliverables that we're expecting. Let us also discuss that as a group and make sure we can all meet with it.
Yeah, the project plan is a critical part that we will have a draft ready to circulate today that we will prepare together. So there will be these milestones when we are expected to come out with the deliverables. But in particular, it will remind us, the periods that we need to have, public comments. It's quite a challenge because we already look at the calendar. If we combine all these, deadlines and restrictions, we have very few weeks when the working groups can really work together. So we have less than a couple of months before the boreal summer, and we have approximately 5 to 6 weeks after the summer before the October ICANN meeting.
Are you expecting most of the work to be done via the mailing list or via phone calls and discussion? Because phone calls and discussion, the experiences that I've had on the ICANN subcommittees with a global group, in the way that you structure the three working groups, you may want to have a more of a geographic bias just because of the logistics of being able to get onto phone calls if that's a requirement. And given the short timeline, if a lot of it's going to, and it seems to us as a group, most of the work is done when we actually talk to each other rather than when we send emails. So if there's going to be any shuffling of memberships, it may be worth looking at it from that point of view.
So I would say let's get started with this in mind. It's definitely a consideration, and we definitely know that we'll need teleconferencing, and we know also that, for a group of five people in ICANN occupations, Hartmut and I were, I think, in the most intensive one there has been, which was the CCNSO creation group in the reform. We did meet once a week over a year and a half, but that was really hard and it took a lot of drive. I don't think that any of the subgroups meeting by teleconference more often than every 2 weeks, and not into lots of months, but into like 3-4 meetings like that, and then an interval. That's the most that is realistic. But let's work it out in the groups, and we'll certainly be working on a calendar for that. And as you mentioned, yes, we aim to have a lot of our work done by October, so that this doesn't spill into 2012. But you look at it, and the breakout groups will be the ones that tells us what's achievable. My proposal now is that we split into the groups. We continue having cross questions among us. We work together separately until 12, which is 2 hours, almost 2 hours from now, and then we reconvene for a short while before, and then have lunch at 1.
I'd say one of the things, it was more of a suggestion than a requirement, but one of the things I would suggest is that each group should have a deliverable that's, for example, who they plan to interview, because we're not, presumably not going to interview the ESAC three times, and try and figure out at least what information we're going to gather and just have that as a list, and then we'll see if somebody shows up on all three lists, we'll have to figure out what we want to do. You know, maybe just figuring out what we have to go look at and what we and who we have to go talk to as being an explicit deliverable, and then whatever a group thinks is important.
Andrea Rigoni, let me add that one suggestion is that we collect for each group the name of the organizations or entities that we want to interview. We also have to remember that, you know, in some cases, even if we are tempted to understand what's going on in a specific organization, because of the ICANN mandate and the governance model, at the end we are forced to look at the contract and you know the provisioning agreements that there are with these entities. So I know that when we do, you know, reviews and audits, there is the temptation, you know, to look into how things are then implemented. But let's be, you know, it's just, you know, a reminder for everybody that that's not always, you know, the best way to proceed. Let me also add another. Maybe it's obvious, my suggestion, looking at the composition of the review team. But usually, when there are reviews or audits, you can have a completely agnostic approach. Or, you know, like in our case, a more pragmatic approach, because, I mean, I think that with the expertise and skills around the table, if we collect which are, you know, the issues and recommendations that that we have, we can come out very quickly with a list of recommendations that obviously are not proved by evidence, but that's then the work of the review team. But it will make, you know, I think the discussions much easier and much more focused, in particular considering that we don't have a lot of time. I mean, I simply see that in these, you know, and this is not a critique, I'm just, you know, analyzing the way we work in these committees. Even, you know, simple high-level discussions can take hours or days, and then the end, you know, I've seen we come out with a very reasonable solution that we could have, you know, defined at the beginning.
Just as an observation, I'd like to make a proposal that as a group we try and adopt a working method that takes into account Pareto's law, which is that we go for an 80-20 success rate, which is, I think, if we try and discuss everything to the point where we try and get to perfection, we will spend an awful lot of time just discussing what perfection looks like rather than actually getting the work done. So I think there's a little bit, and this is, I think, exactly where Paul is at, which is, let's just crack on, let's just get something down and have a go at it, see how it feels. If it feels good, let's do it, and let's get on with working on some stuff. And I think that's the really important thing here, is I think there's a danger when we get into committee thinking that in trying to get everybody's, you know, consensus and get it all right and perfect, sometimes I think you end up getting lost in your own discussion. So I'm just, that would be my plea here, is that we get moving, we be pragmatic. None of these issues, I think, are insurmountable, so I think we just get moving.
Andrea, again, another comment regarding Rod's suggestion to use conference calls instead of emails. I would leave this decision to the individual groups. I mean, I'm aware of, you know, people that are much more comfortable and faster in working, you know, using email, and other people that feel much more comfortable in using conference calls. So what we will do between the three working group leaders and the chair and vice chair, we will have regular conference calls. It's true that if now we will work in small groups, it will make the organization of a conference call much easier, because it's less people, you know, attending, and then, you know, less agendas that has to match. So, but I would leave this decision to the working groups.
This coordination team, chair, vice chair, three coordinators, the five, will be the secret for the success. You need to be in touch, let's say, every 2 weeks. discuss after each meeting to avoid superposition. And so the key, I think, is to have these five people meeting a lot of time, more than all the others.
So I would say, without further ado, let's keep one team on this table so that we can have the microphones and have Atif, are you still on the call? Atif, are you still on the call? We do have email from him. There he is. So the group in which Atif is should remain on this table so that we can have continue to communicate, and that's group number two. And the others will move to other tables. And that's, I'm sorry for not being able to provide three streams simultaneously, but I think that with one of them we certainly are fulfilling our transparency and participation obligations reasonably. Thanks. So we reconvene. We'll look at 12 whether we're ready to reconvene, and if there's any cross coordination needs, we'll just interrupt and have the discussion from table to table.
Atif, can you hear us?
Loud and clear.
We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be right back with, 5 minutes, Bill, Rodney, and I.
Okay. Hi, Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, it's a yeah. We're back.
Okay.
That would be great. That would be great. How will we hear him? That would solve the problem. It'll disrupt everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So we asked him to comment through the chat box.
Well,
I read, for example.
There's another alternative. Is there an ICANN bridge that we can use, and I can just dial in from my cell phone,
yeah,
and he can dial in, and we'll just
On speakerphone.
So what we're going to do for the team up here is we're going to not use these mics. We're going to call. We're going to set up the ICANN bridge, and we're going to call you, and then just do the little speakerphone thing so that we don't irritate everybody else in the room.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll send email to the list so that you know which numbers we're going to call, or you're going to call us or something. So Rodney will take care of that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, then talk to you.
Wait on the bridge and we'll call in.
So okay.
You just wait there and then we'll call in.
We'll
yeah. Jeff says we'll come to you, but he's got a mouthful of bagel.
Okay then. Thank you.